Well, we're back, and Peter Flaherty has just returned from India, Gujarat, to be precise, which we mentioned earlier. And let's welcome Peter. Good morning.
Good morning, Roy. How are you?
I'm terrific. How about yourself? You getting over all this jet lag?
Well, I seem to be in a permanent state of jet lag these days, but I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all. It's been a fascinating time.
Well, it's always nice to have you back, and let's chat about India, a great destination. You went to Gujarat, and before we get into Gujarat, Gujarat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What was your first impression when you arrived in India?
Well, I think the first impression is really when you leave the airport is of a very different kind of world. Large crowds of people milling about, it's a little bit disorienting at first. Lots of traffic on the street. We actually landed in Mumbai, which used to be known as Bombay, and on the way to the hotel, I really just couldn't get over the ability of the taxi driver to navigate through the crowded streets, people swarming, literally, living everywhere on the streets, people, just masses of people, a lot of poverty, and yet the hotel we went to the first night in Bombay was a beautiful hotel. You see real extremes. I think that's one of the first things that strikes me about India is that there's a lot of poverty and a lot of ostentatious wealth and not really too much in between, but it's a fascinating place.
Now, as you get more into it, incidentally, was this your first trip to India?
Yes, it was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get over this bit of a culture shock, and then
right.
you get more into the India itself,
mm-hmm.
and I think your opinion begins to change, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely, and I really think that I was privileged to have been invited to participate in this event that was organized by the Gujarat State Tourist Board, Navratri, which is a very important religious/cultural festival in that part of India. Gujarat is a fascinating area of the country, and it's not really on the tourist radar screen yet in the same way that places like Delhi or Agra are. I mean, everyone knows about the Taj Mahal and some of the other attractions in that part of India, but Gujarat is kind of like a hidden gem, and the fact that I was there as part of a trip that was focusing on a specific important cultural event, I think that really gave me a good entry into India and its fascinating culture.
Now, why do you think Gujarat isn't on the radar? Do you think that they're doing enough to promote the destination, or is it just they've just finally getting their act together?
I think probably a little of both. They have a very ambitious state government that's promoting that area of India for IT and other kinds of economic investment infrastructure. But tourism is something they're really strongly promoting. They have excellent sites to see. They have really professional CDs that they're putting out. So on that side of it, I think it's very strong. However, because it's still a little bit of a backwater, people aren't as familiar with it, they haven't heard about it, they're still kind of operating a little bit behind some of the other better-known parts of India. But once people realize what's there, and the very fact that it's not developed for tourism makes it in some ways even more appealing. I spent a couple of days in Agra at the end, of course, to see the Taj Mahal, but you really get a sense that you're a part of a tourist hustle there, whereas in Gujarat, the people, because they're not familiar with tourists as much, are very welcoming, very honest, very open. And it's just you really feel like you're in a place that's an emerging destination, and in a way you don't want too many people to know about it, so
right.
you can stay that way.
Well, and then you were there during a major festival.
Right. Mm-hmm. Navratri is a fascinating. To be honest, I didn't know that much about Navratri before I went. It is mainly a regional festival. What happens in India is because the Hindu religion takes many different forms in different parts of the country. Some festivals are more popular, in some areas than others, but Navratri really in Gujarat is the place to experience it. Literally, Navratri means nine nights, and for nine nights you basically have non-stop dancing, partying. There is a religious element to it, but it's very much a cultural festival, and the first night we were there we had the honor of being part of the inaugural ceremonies in the state capital, which was a massive event attended by thousands, hosted by the government. There were dance troupes not only from Gujarat and other parts of India, but from many other countries too, and the production they put on was world class. I really think that if anyone could have seen it in North America, they would have been astounded by the richness of it, the professionalism, the dancing, the music. it really was a great privilege to attend it, and I came away with a real appreciation of Indian culture.
Now, the state has a long coastline of about 1,600 kilometers, I believe, and they also have an international border. On their international border is Pakistan.
That's right.
So there must be a lot of cross cultures there.
Well, yes and no. I mean, when you're in India, you realize that the history of the two countries and the problems that continue to exist does color that relationship. There is a border area known as Kutch, which is just on the border with Pakistan, that has a very distinctive tribal culture, people kind of living a semi-nomadic existence in the desert. I really wanted to get up there, but it was difficult, and I did notice that although a number of countries had been invited to participate in the inaugural Navratri event, Pakistan was not one of them. So I'm hopeful that someday the two countries will be able to work their problems out, but you really do get a sense when you're there that there's a lot of tension and a sense that it could even erupt at any time, unfortunately.
Now, there are some major archaeological and historical sites, I understand.
Oh, yes, some fascinating ones. And as I say, we were taken around to them all. And what really struck me about Gujarat, another fascinating aspect of it, is the mixture. And it kind of goes against what I was just saying about the Indo-Pakistani conflict. Hindus and Muslims have coexisted and lived in Gujarat, and true in many other parts of India too, for centuries. And when you visit the temples, the Hindu temples, which I was taken to, the Sun Temple of Modara, and the Stepwell, not too far from there, Vankirav, fascinating examples of Hindu architecture and archaeology. And then the next day we were off to a Muslim mosque, which is now a UNESCO-protected site in Champanar, just down south of Ahmedabad, which was the city we were based in Gujarat. And there you see a Muslim temple with a lot of Hindu influence on its architecture and symbology. So you really do get a sense that these two cultures have coexisted and lived together, sometimes in tension, but sometimes in peace. And the richness of it and the cross-cultural influences, I really have been inspired to learn more about India and its history as a result of this trip, because the sights I saw were just like nothing I've seen anywhere else.
I thought it was interesting.
Perhaps for Jordan, but we did see some interesting things there too.
I thought it was interesting that the density of Gujarat is 258 persons per square kilometer.
That's right. That's right. It's one state in India, and yet its total population is about twice the size of Canada. So you really get, and it's not even one of the bigger states. I mean, India is an emerging country with a lot of problems for sure, but my short trip there really gave me a strong impression that this is not only a coming tourist destination with an immense amount to offer, but also a country that is going to be a major player on the world stage in the 21st century. And I really think that here in North America, we should kind of wake up and take notice of this waking giant.
What did you find some of the challenges are while you're traveling through India?
Well, it's definitely not a place that that to go if you expect sort of everything to be kind of well organized and running smoothly. It's a third world country. It is possible to get first world style accommodations, but things like, for instance, I took the train from Delhi to Agra. It's known as the Taj Express. And it was a fascinating experience in itself. The train system in India is by far the largest in the world. It's one of the things about the British colonial era that they're kind of grateful for, that the British built it. And it's a fascinating kind of trip to take. However, when you reach the train station, if you're on your own, as I was, you may feel a little disoriented. As I say, the crowds are milling about. All kinds of people are approaching you for this and for that. But you really just kind of have to keep your head about you and not panic. Generally speaking, it's a safe country. There's very little crime against tourists. Obviously, you take the regular precautions that you would take in any poor country, but I found the people to be very polite, very respectful, very, very friendly. They kind of have a British tradition of manners that I think that India was better taught than we were in Canada, because the people are so friendly, but also very, very polite and very proper in the way they deal with people. So you kind of have to accept that it's a difficult place in some respects. The heat can be a challenge. It helps to like Indian food, which I do.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, the food. Yeah.
Well, the food in Gujarat is regional. I mean, this is one of the things about India, because it's such a diverse country. Each region has its own cuisine. Gujarat, if you're a vegetarian, you'd be in paradise. For religious reasons, obviously, it's difficult to get pork or beef, because Muslims don't eat pork and Hindus don't eat beef, but I really feasted on a lot of good chicken dishes and some seafood, a lot of excellent vegetarian stuff. One slight drawback, Gujarat is the only state in India that's completely dry, so I wasn't able to enjoy a cold Kingfisher beer with my hot Indian food, but other than that, it was there were some very interesting little dishes that they prepare, especially for the Navratri festival, so it was unique and different. As I say, if you go there, though, expecting a North American kind of cuisine and aren't able to adjust, you may find it a little bit of a challenge. But contrary to popular myth, not all Indian food is spicy.
You know, I found it interesting that on the government website, they're saying that Gujarat has the largest number of museums in India. I thought that was that was a pretty strong statement.
Well, I think it's probably true, and I unfortunately wasn't able to get to as many as I would have liked. We were in one town known as Baroda, which is a very old, important town in Gujarat, and they took us to a fascinating museum that had been sponsored by one of the wealthy gentlemen who lived in the town, and they had an incredible collection of artifacts and artworks that he'd collected from different parts of the world. And then we also went to the former palace of the Gwalior of Baroda, who was one of the princes or rajas of the time of the British Raj in India. So we were able to tour that. There's an immense amount to see. In Ahmedabad, which is the major city in the state that we were based in, there were a number of mosques and very interesting places. We weren't able to get to all of them. One that I would like to visit when I go back, and I'm saying when, not if, is a museum of calico, which is all about the importance of the textile industry. A number of sites relating to Mahatma Gandhi, who got his start in Gujarat, and he began his political career there. He's a very important native son of the region. So there's you can satisfy all of your interests in culture, history, art, architecture, archaeology. It's rich, and it's only just one tiny part of India.
If you had to pick one, what would be your highlight of the trip?
Oh, there were so many. I would say that the nights that, unfortunately, I came down with a bit of a bad cold there, so I didn't have quite the energy that I would like to have had, but I would say the nights that we were taken to the different Navratri events stand out in my mind. The first night, the inaugural presentation, that was, as I said, was just a spectacular event. The second night, we actually went to one of what they call the garbas, which are like the dances where people get together and basically dance to either traditional or sort of Bollywood-influenced Indian music. And just seeing that the costumes, the women particularly, were just so beautifully turned out in their saris. And I took a number of pictures. The people were so friendly. There weren't many Westerners there, but we were welcomed and encouraged to participate in the dancing. And the whole joy of the event, it really struck me that here were thousands and thousands of people partying their brains out, and yet there wasn't a single alcoholic drink to be had. I mean, it was completely peaceful and enjoyable. There were families there. There were couples there. It was quite something to see.
Great. Peter Flaherty, we thank you very much. I guess you'll have an article following this up pretty soon.
There will be an article coming at some point.
Right.
I still have to work on Jordan, though, Roy.
Yeah, right, with some great photos, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Peter, thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and it's always fun chatting with you.
You too, Roy. Take it easy.
Bye for now. Thank you.